show to her what an honor, what a privilege. Well, let me tell you what. They lived together 7 years in adultery. 7 long years they lived in adultery. All the holy habit they hide behind doesn't cover the sin that's in their heart. I can assure you that. All right, now this is my brother's confession. And he said, Charlotte, finally, after he had lived with this girl that year, many years, God must have answered prayer or got a hold of him. I feel that God really did get a hold of him. That he called me and he said, I'm leaving the Roman Catholic Church altogether and I'm cutting away from it. Now, he was excommunicated, but he still held on to it like a lot of people do. But anyway, he told me these things and he asked if he could see me and talk to me. And you know, of course, I was privileged to talk to him again. And bless his heart, I really talked to him about his soul this time. And I told him how much he needed the Lord and so on and so forth. But he didn't turn to God right away. But he said, Chet, you didn't tell me just why you left the priesthood and why you took the holy habit off. And he said, well, I forgot to tell you because you didn't have very much time. Well, he said, if you're reading that book, and something got a hold of him, and yet he said, I said to that young girl, it was his housekeeper, I'm leaving the Roman Catholic Church. I'm taking off the holy habit, and I'm leaving forever. I never intend to go back taking off the habit. He never expects to be a priest any longer. And you know, he told this young girl, she said, if you leave, I'm leaving, normally. All right, so my brother sent word to the Pope, and the Pope sent word back to the bishop of that diocese. And the bishop come to see my brother. And when the bishop approached my brother, they said, we are sending you to South America. My brother looked at that big old bishop, and he said, you just think you are sending me. I'm not leaving here. I'm not going anywhere. Neither am I ever putting back on the cloth. Neither will I ever enter the door of a Roman Catholic Church again. And I'll assure you he meant what he says. And you know, 6 months later, he and that lovely girl were married. They really are man and wife. All right, I'd like to tell you, it has been possibly... Now, I might make a mistake on this, so let's leave it open a little bit because I have so much to remember and dates, you know, can get away from you. But it hasn't been that a few years, we'll say, just a few years. He lives within a block and a half of Amy Semple McPherson Temple in Los Angeles, California. All right, there were some of those people who met them and invited he and his wife to the services. And naturally, they have revivals going on there most of the time. And they started to one of the revivals, and they had only gone for about 2 weeks. And my brother was the first one that jumped out of his seat, and he made a run for the altar. And there he threw himself on that altar and began to cry out to God. Well, just a moment, his wife was right behind him, and she fell in at the altar too. And there they both repented of their sins. And let me tell you, folks, they really repented. They had an experience with God they'll never forget. And, you know, after that, after they were had repented, they talked to the pastor. And, of course, I had written, and I had already talked to him. I've given him all of the literature. He had it in hand. Oh, if you ever are baptized, Chet, don't you ever let anybody baptize you anyway but the right way. And, of course, you know how we baptize, in Jesus' name. All right, so my brother said to the pastor when he mentioned baptism, and he said, I'll baptize you anyway you want to be baptized. Of course they would. And so they buried my sister-in-law and my brother in the lovely name of Jesus in water baptism. And my sister-in-law, she got the Holy Ghost first. Now, my brother got the Holy Ghost, but I wasn't quite satisfied. Number of people wrote to me from the temple that know him personally and said they were kneeling right by him when he prayed through, and they felt perfectly content with his experience, but I just wanted to know a little more about it. All right, I lost that brother the first day of June of this year. He just went in to lie down on the bed or wait a few moments until dinner was ready. And when his wife went to call him, he was gone, slipped out into eternity. So thank God his little wife prayed for her. There were never any children, so she's very lonely. Pray for her. She really needs your prayer. I write a lot about my two sisters out on the West Coast. Bess and Toddie are their names. All right? They have more money than they know what to do with. You can see their homes and the way they live. They have everything that money can buy. And, of course, they inherited so much from my father. To keep from paying taxes, of course, he gave each one of the children so much money. Except my brother and myself. We never got a penny. To this day, we've never received a nickel of anything that belonged to my family. But anyway, my brother, he was very, very much concerned. And he was very, very much disturbed about a lot of things. Because all of this is new to him, just like it was new to me. And my heart was very heavy for him. But to think that he's gone, and he could have had maybe a more definite experience he had, well, I prayed for that, but it didn't happen like that. But the two girls, they have been so cruel to me. They have done everything that they're big enough to do to me. They've written me letters that I really would be ashamed to read myself. The names they have called me, the things they've said about me, the threats they have made, it's something terrible. Until I shed so many tears over it, I had to just lay them on the altar and leave them there. All right. Now my brother, before he died, he wanted to take me over to see Toddie and Bess, Sister Nyla and I. And he did. He called her and told her that he was bringing us over, and they didn't want to see us. All right, but he said, well, I'll just bring them by, and they don't possibly won't come in, but at least I'd like for you to see Charlotte. All right, so I didn't want to go. No, I certainly didn't want to go, but I thought I didn't want to hurt my brother now either. So we got in the car and we went, drove up in front of the home, and there stood both of my sisters. They had come down, and they was all dressed up, had their hats on, their gloves on, their purses, and they had come down off of the porch and were standing right by the porch. And of course, when we drove up, I didn't want to get out of the car, but I felt I had to do it. So we did. We got out of the car, and I said, Chet, I really don't think I should have come. And he said, well, I'm glad you came. And so we walked up just a little bit farther, and as we did, well, Bess grunted at me, and Toddie didn't do much less than that. And I'll assure you, they didn't treat me civil at all. Well, they stood there talking, and we were silent, but Chet was talking. And while he was talking to them, I was looking around at all of the gorgeous flowers, and they really had a beautiful home, flowers and everything. And all of a sudden, it seemed to be an opportune time, at least I thought there was, and I said, oh, these flowers are so beautiful. Isn't God wonderful? And my sister Toddie ran up against me with her hands against my chest and pushed me back from her. And she said, let me tell you something right quick. Charlotte, let's get us straight. I don't want anything you have. I'm a Roman Catholic. I'll die a Roman Catholic. I don't want any part of you. Well, that's plain enough. And you know, Bess just turned around and walked in the house. All right. It wasn't possibly 2 years went by. We're still on the West Coast preaching. And let me tell you, my sister Toddie went blind overnight. And when I say blind, I mean blind in both eyes. Totally blind. She had to walk with a white cane. And God let her stay blind for 10 long years. And during those 10 long years, we were on all in the neighborhood where we were close enough we could contact him, but we didn't dare. All right, so once we got a letter from Bess, and she said, Charlotte, even though all the things that have happened, would you pray for Toddie? Toddie's in a terrible condition. She's totally blind. Both eyes are gone. And on, she told. And she said, would you folks pray for her? Think of Todd. Bessie asking me that. Why, we sent word back immediately that we are praying for her. People all over the United States was praying for her. And so on and on. All right, you know, I would write letters, and Bess would read those letters to Toddie. And Toddie would tell Bess what to write back to us. And these are some of the things that were said in the letter that she had my sister Bess write. If God will let me see again, I will read my Bible. She burned one Bible I sent her. If God will let me see again, I'll get a Bible, I'll read it. I'll never go back to the Roman church. I'll go to church, but it'll never be the Roman Catholic church. If God will only let me see again, You know, there was a doctor after 10 years of blindness. Doctor moved over here from Old Mexico City, Old Mexico. And my brother-in-law heard about him. And they took me in the appointment, took my sister down there. And that doctor, after thoroughly examining her eyes, he said, "I believe I can operate on your wife and she can see." Well, you might know how happy everybody was. And he performed an operation on her one eye. And 3 weeks after the operation, he lifted the bandage. He was going to dress that eye. And when he lifted the bandage, of course, Tidy was looking up. And she looked into his face and she said, "Doctor, I didn't know you wore glasses." She saw his face perfectly. All right. Later, they operated on the other eye. And this time, she told him what a beautiful tie he had on. Saw out of both eyes beautifully. All right, do you think my sister ever quit going back to the Roman Catholic Church? No, she just lied to God. She lied to God. She went right on back to church. She done everything she was big enough to do. All right, she went on for a year. And then all of a sudden, cancer. Cancer of the stomach. And then she got very, very bad. They had to put her in the hospital. They operated on her. Nobody thought she was going to live. There was prayers going up everywhere. Fasting and prayer. And she got over that operation. They brought her home. She lived 1 year. And then cancer broke out again. Took her back to the hospital. She has two daughters. One's married and has two children. Both are married. I think each of them have two children, even at that time. And so she had to go back to the hospital. And she had one of the finest husbands. Even though he was Roman Catholic, he is a very good man, a good father and a good husband. But I never forget when they took her back to the hospital. They let me know about it. And let me tell you, folks, as they are the daughters and the husbands, her son-in-laws and her husband, come into her room. They wouldn't let the children come. She was dying. And they let them come in at that last moment. As they stood around her bed, Toddy looked up at them. Her youngest daughter is Patty, too. She stepped over by her mother's bed, and she took her mother's hand in her hand. And, of course, Patty doesn't know God. Patty does everything she's big enough to do. She just said, "Mom, don't worry. God's everywhere." That's all the comfort she could give her dying mother. And her mother began to cry out loud, "I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid." And Patty just stood there. Then Toddy stepped over there, the other daughter, and said, "Mom, you know God's everywhere. And God loves you, and God's a good God." And that's all they knew to tell her. They couldn't tell her anything because they don't have anything to tell her. Well, she died. She never had a chance. You see, folks, we deal with you, we pray for you, we preach to you, we give you the gospel, and you know some of you walk right out of that door and shut the door in God's face. Oh, yes, some of you are going to do the same thing tonight. Well, my sister Bess, where is she? I won't have to explain where she is. First night I was here, I told you how she was in the rest home with Parkinson's disease, and I took leave of absence from the field. And I rented a 5-room house in Napa, California. I was holding a revival for Brother Paul Price. And there's where I felt led. I found out. I didn't know where my sister was. I didn't know she had Parkinson's disease, but I found out. And I went to see her. And, oh, she was in such a pitiful condition. We in a wheelchair, and they put her in there in the morning. She was in the rest home. She has only one son and his wife and one grandson. And her daughter-in-law is a tiny little creature. It was impossible for her to take care of her mother-in-law because Bess weighed about 150 or 60 pounds. But anyway, there they are. And Bess was in such a pitiful condition. They take her in the morning from bed, and after breakfast they put her in that wheelchair with her legs hanging down. And when I went to see her, her legs were larger than her body. They were so swollen. And, oh, they half starved them to death there. Even though it was costing them $570 a month to keep her there, she's a wealthy woman. It was her money they were spending. But, oh, they left her there for such a long time. But let me tell you, folk, they stole her clothes. They did everything she was big enough to do. All right, I found out about her, and I went to see her. And my, when she didn't recognize me at first, but when she did, I said, "Bess, I come to see you, honey. And if you want to, would you like to come and go home with me?" Bess, and I began to tell her of what I wanted to do. And she cried so hard, she said, "Would you do that for me? After all I've done to you." I said, "Honey, sure I would." She said, "Charlotte, will you forgive me?" And so on and on. Well, we had quite a little visit. I took one of Brother Price's saints with me, older women. And we talked quite a while. So I said, she said, "Will you take me right now?" She wanted to go. I said, "I can't. I've got nine revivals booked in Texas, and I have to take them. So I have to go take care of those revivals, and I'm coming back. I'm coming to Napa. I'm going to establish a home, and I'm going to make a home for you. And if your son will let you, I'm going to bring you." And she said, "Have you asked Harry?" "Yes, her son." I said, "No, but I'm going by his home right now. And I'm going to ask him if he'll let me take you." And I didn't think he would, because he'd never had anything to do with me. So Sister Nile and I drove by there, or rather Sister Nesbitt and I. And as we drove by that home, Harry, I knocked on the door. They were cool to me, but I broke them down a little bit and invited me in. And I maybe pushed my way in. And after I got inside, I said, "Harry, I've just found about your mother." "My sister, by the way. She is my sister, Harry. And you're my nephew. And I know you don't love me. I know you don't care anything about me. But I'm not concerned about me. It's your mother that I'm concerned about. Harry, would you privilege me? If I would establish a home, would you let me take your mother out of this place and put her in my home? And you know that I will give her the best care that could be given to anybody. I'll take care of her." Because I didn't know how long she might live or anything. And finally, after talking to her, they knew it was such a burden on them. And of course, they happened to be the type of people, it was a bother to them, a nuisance, to have to go see her, to waste the time, and so on and so forth. Well, anyway, he told me I could. Well, I went on, took my revivals. I went back to Napa after I finished my revivals, and the folks out there helped me find a home, a little five-room house. And, of course, I don't have money to buy a house. Of course not. And so I rented this little five-room house. Now, I didn't have money to go downtown and buy furniture. So I went downtown, and it took several days to find enough secondhand used furniture. And I fixed a little five rooms up with used furniture and got her bedroom all fixed up nice for her. And then on the 14th day of December, 12 years ago, I went to get my sister, brought her to Napa. And you know, she cried most of the way. And there I had her in my home all of those years. And you heard the story when I first came, how she, Parkinson's disease is a brain and nerve disease. And I finally, in about 6 or 8 months, I had put quite a bit of weight on her because I cooked the best food you could buy. I'll tell you right now, I took the best care of her. I am an RN. I know how to take care of her. I gave her the best care that anybody could give her. But it was certainly hard on my body. But I didn't care. She would never be saved had I not done this. She was Roman Catholic. All right, so it went on and on. In 9 months, I had her up walking with the walker. And in about a year and a half, maybe a little longer, maybe 2 years, I had her up where I would take her out in the yard and take a big rocking chair and sit her out there and put the walker right by her chair. And then, you know, I'd come back in the house, but I watched her closely, and I'd see her get out of that chair, get a hold of the walker and pull to her feet, and she'd walk around and around that chair. Oh, I was so happy. I was so thrilled. Then I started taking her to church, and for about 3.5 years, I was privileged to take her to Brother Price's church, and she heard the gospel. She'd sit back there and cry and cry and cry while Brother Price preached. And it went on and on. Of course, they were in our home, and they would sit at a footstool and talk to Bess about the Word of God, the Bible, and on and on about God. And she listened so carefully and so patiently. And you know, after a period of time, she had a very heavy stroke, and I couldn't take her anymore because I couldn't handle her then. And so I had to keep her home. Well, but the folks kept coming out, just the ministers. We couldn't let very many people come in. She went into heavy tremors if we did. We had to keep her under drugs all the time. But anyway, you know, the day came when Brother Price was sitting there on a footstool at her feet. and he had already explained water baptism to her, and I had explained it to her, and I had read it to her, a dozen times, and told her all about it. And so she had said to me, "Charlotte, when you take me back to church, will you tell Brother Price that I want to be baptized like you are?" Oh, I called Brother Price and told him that very Sunday they planned a baptismal service, and it took 6 men to handle her because she can't get up or walk, and it took 6 men to handle her, of course. But when she went down, now she couldn't lift her arms or hands at all. She can't even kneel or anything. But when they baptized her, she went down the watery grave in the lovely name of Jesus, and she come up out of that water. You know, that girl's hands went straight up in the air, and she cried out, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Oh, listen, folks, how God met her there. No, she didn't get the Holy Ghost, no. But, God blessed her soul. He blessed her and re-blessed her. All right, we took her home. And about 4 months after that, of course, I always had prayer with her several times a day, and always at night and the first thing in the morning. And this was in the afternoon, after an evening meal. I was kneeling down there by her, and I was reading the scriptures, and I was reading about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, young people had come out from the church, and many times for me to pray with them. And I'd take them out in the kitchen, and she'd hear us praying, and she'd hear me praying in tongues so many times. And she'd ask me, what were you saying? Well, I tried to explain to her, you see. And so this time I was praying for her, and I just got up on my feet, and I laid my hands on her head. And she said, "Charlotte, I want the Holy Ghost. I want what you have." And I said, "Honey, you can have it right now." And I just laid my hands on her head, and I began to pray. And those hands shot up in the air, and my sister began to speak in that heavenly language that only God can speak. He filled that girl with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, listen, folks. So I had her all of these years, and you know the story. I don't have to repeat it to you. For the last 4.5 months she lived, she was paralyzed all over, every inch of her body. And, of course, it broke my body so completely. That's why I've had to have these 3 serious operations. She'd be dead 2 years. It was dead 2 years, the 1st of April of this April. But my body broke completely. And I've had 3 serious operations because she fell so many times. And I'd have to lift her up into the wheelchair. Oh, I had to pick her off the floor. And so many times. But, let me tell you, folks, she loved the Lord. She read her Bible incessantly. She prayed continuously. It was really beautiful. And before she died or went into a coma, 2 days before she went into this coma, she said again to me, "Charlotte," she called me. Out of the kitchen, I had come in the bedroom, and I had a hospital bed in there in my room to make it easier for me, of course. And she said, "Charlotte, you have forgiven me, haven't you?" She's safe with my lovely Jesus. Oh, listen, with every eye in this building closed. Every member of my family is out of the Roman Catholic Church. I don't have any. Oh, let me just before I stop. Things come through me so fast and so much. That family, I want you to know about that family. Betty and her mother and the father and the little girl. Let me tell you, that little girl was put in a public school. She graduated from school, from high school. They put her in nurse's training. She graduated from nurse's training. She fell in love with one of the interns while she was in nursing. She married that young intern, and I was privileged to go to her wedding. What a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Both of them have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Both have been buried in the lovely name of Jesus in water baptism. Whereas the mother and the other child and the father, they're all saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them, the whole family, been baptized in Jesus' name. All right, what about my sister Babe and Carl and their little Patty and Carol, their older daughter? They everyone have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've all been buried in the lovely name of Jesus in water baptism. And Carol, the youngest daughter of the baby, the 2.5 I took with me when my sister was prayed for, she too is a registered nurse. She too married a young intern. And I was privileged to be at her wedding too. And oh, let me tell you, both she and her husband have the Holy Ghost, and they are buried in the lovely name of Jesus in water baptism. Every member of my family now, they belong to God. Why? Because I have dared to stand true to God. Because I have dared to take the persecution, the suffering, the rebuffs, whatever they wanted to do to me. I've been willing to just take it, that I might win their souls for God. And let me tell this congregation, I surely have walked close to God. I was scared to death to get an inch from Him because I have a family and I wanted God to save them and get them ready to meet Him. And let me tell you, I have prayed for so many hours. I have fasted so many days. I just almost broke my health fasting for my own family. But oh, how I thank God tonight. One day I'm going to see every one of them. When I get over there, they're going to be there. And I'm going to know them, and I'm going to see each one of them. Ah, why? Because of my lovely Jesus. With every eye in the